Good morning, girls and boys. We're turning to Hebrews chapter 11 once again. You ought to be able to find your way there after all the times we have turned it up. Chapter 11 then of Hebrews, and we have a new verse to look at today. Verse 27. Verse 27, by faith, there's our friend that we have been looking at, that little phrase, by faith. He, that's Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There's a lot in that. If we have eyes to see it and a heart to believe it. Let's just consider then what the verse says. What we are looking at is the experiences of Moses as God awoke him to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and then led him on step by step in the plan and purpose that God had for him. And what happened to Moses is illustrative. It's a picture of what God would have you to do. Now, you're not going to lead a great nation out of Egypt or anything like that. But nevertheless, what Moses did and how the Lord led him is exactly, in principle, in spirit, what he wants you to do. And I hope I can illustrate that for you. It says in our verse, by faith he forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt. That's important for us to notice. That was at the very heart of what God wanted to do in the life of Moses. And it's what God wants to do in your life. I want you to understand that. There is that which God wants you to forsake, quit, leave, and go away from. That's God's purpose. A lot of people puzzle over, you know, I wonder what God's purpose is for me. I wonder what God wants me to do. Well, I tell you, throughout the whole Bible, there are many pictures given of what it is the Lord wants you to do. And here's one of them. He wants you to forsake Egypt. And I'm going to start off by saying that is the purpose of God for all of us people. Not just the Moses of the Bible, but for all of us people. If you're a Christian today, please understand God would have you to understand clearly that his mind and will for you is like that which took place in the life of Moses. Forsake Egypt. Listen to what Moses later wrote about Israel. We read this in the book of Exodus and the verse 16 of chapter 33. Here's what he said. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? He's asking a question as he's praying and talking with the Lord. He says, how will it be that everybody in the world will know that we, the Israelites, have found favor with God? And then he answers the question himself. Is it not in that thou goest with us? We have the company of God. And as a result of that, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Are you getting that? Are you getting that? Moses is saying, how will it be seen by others that we have the favor of God? Well, it will be seen that you're with us, and as a result of that, we are unlike any other people on the face of the earth. And that's so with you. If you're a Christian today, you're not like the people out there who are not. You shouldn't in the least want to be like them. You shouldn't want to talk like them, act like them, live like them. You should have nothing in common with them at all. Because if God's with us, leading us and blessing us, we're going to be very different. That's God's purpose for us, boys and girls. Now, what Moses says here of Israel is true of the Christian. It's not just for the Jew, this statement in Exodus 33, but rather it's applicable. It can be applied to the Christian. Christian. It is applied in the Bible to the Christian. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul now is talking to people who were Gentiles, but now they're converted. They were Greeks. That was their nationality. They belonged to the city of Corinth. And he said to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 17, and he's applying God's word to them. He says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Paul's speaking to a people who had sort of begun to mingle again with the ungodly in the city of Corinth and adopt the ways and habits to some degree of the ungodly. And Paul says, "No, no, no, that's not what God wants. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate." That's what God wants for us. We are to be a separate, a unique people. Peter, he takes up the same theme. And this is a verse that has a special place in my life because in December 1964, I was given this verse by the press to preach. And I preached it in 1964, although I have to tell you, boys and girls, I got a lot of help. Not only from the Lord, but when I had been given the text in the previous presbytery, which would have been November, going home, I happened to be in Dr. Paisley's car at the time, I was in despair because I had never, I don't think I had ever really looked at this verse before. I wasn't that long saved. And as I was going home, sitting there and looking at this verse in my Bible, I said to Dr. Paisley, "What am I going to say about this? I don't understand what it is." And Dr. Paisley said, "If I were preaching on that verse, I would say." And he just reamed off six or seven headings from this verse. I took note of them. And when I arrived in presbytery, I have to confess what I preached bore a strong resemblance to what Dr. Paisley had said. And it made a great impression on the presbytery. They thought, "This young fellow's really good. He can really preach." And Dr. Paisley sat there, straight-faced. So that's how I got into the Free Presbyterian Church, almost under false pretenses. But listen to the verse. Now he's saying what I have been seeking to underline for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar or a purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I look at it today and I think, what a wonderful text that is. I didn't look at it, what was it, 60 years ago, with quite the same thought. I was absolutely bewildered as to what I would say, but the Lord helped. But you'll see from what Peter says here, the terms he employs, the titles he gives to Christians, that they're a very special people. They're not like the world. Even as it is said in our text, Hebrews 11:27, "By faith he forsook Egypt." His faith in God took him out of Egypt. And if you have faith in God, really, truly have faith in God, it will cause you to turn your back on this world and stay away from it, progressively increasing the gap between you and the world. Second thing I want you to notice is this. Moses was delivered from the fear of man by his faith. Listen to what the verse says again. Are you looking at it? Hebrews 11:27. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king." The faith that Moses had delivered him from any fear of the king. Now, Pharaoh was the extreme power in Egypt. When he snapped his fingers, everybody jumped. And if they didn't jump, then what happened, the baker, when Joseph came down to Egypt? He annoyed Pharaoh somehow or other. Maybe there were too many currants in the buns he made for Pharaoh. Or maybe there weren't enough currants in the buns that he made for Pharaoh. Somehow or other, he annoyed him. And Pharaoh said, "Take him out and kill him. Execute him." And it happened. He had, as a king, supreme power in the land, but Moses wasn't frightened. He was like Daniel. When Daniel was told he had to stop praying. And if he didn't, he'd get thrown into the den of lions. Daniel left the outcome to God. Then we know what God did. He turned the big lions into pussycats, and they sat purring, I'm sure, at the feet of Daniel. That's what the Lord did. Or like the three Hebrew children, who when they were told you must bow down before the idol, they said, we're not doing. Well, we'll throw you into the fire. Go ahead, do whatever you like, you're not frightened. And they threw them into the fire, and not one hair of their head was singed. In fact, then, miraculously, they were brought out of it. There wasn't even the smell of burning on them. Moses has the same courage and fearlessness given to him by his faith in God. Listen to this. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You know what a snare is? It's a wee trap that you use to catch animals. When they run into it, they can't get away. And the fear of man, if you are frightened of man, it's like a snare. You can do nothing. You can do nothing. You're just held down by that fear of man. As many as a Christian, sadly, succumbs to the fear of man. Oh, there's many a sinner is trapped like that. They're faced with the gospel. They know they should get saved. But they say, but if I get saved, what will my friends say? What will those who I see in school, what will they say if I get saved? And they're trapped because they're frightened of what their friend will say. Fear of man bringeth a snare, but the verse goes on to say, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So faith delivers from such a snare. The old devil, you know, is an intimidator. You know what I mean by that? He's a bully. He's a bully. Very often bullies, you know, by their loud voices and intimidating actions, put those they're bullying into a state of fear. But it has been known that when they start bullying someone, and that someone turns on them and said, who do you think you're bullying? Oh, they back off, the bullies. There isn't much courage when it comes to the bit. I was watching a little video the other day. It was caught on one of the cameras in a city. And there were these three or four boys that came up to rob a fella. Young fella, about their same age. And they wanted to take his watch. And they were pushing him and grabbing at him. The next thing was, bang! Down went one fella, and another fella come, bang! Down went the second fella. And suddenly, these characters thought, maybe it's not such a good idea to try and rob this boy. The bully will turn when faced. And the devil, God says, resist him, and he'll flee from you. He's just a bully. Peter tells us about him. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But listen to me, boys and girls. The devil can roar. He can't bite. He can't kill and destroy the Christians. Stop them going to heaven. I love the story that we find in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. We find one on the way to the Celestial City, if my memory serves me right. And as he comes down to an entrance, there are two lions either side of the gate, roaring out. And the pilgrim's all frightened. Can I go forward? And a voice tells them, don't worry, they're chained up. And you can pass between them, and they can't reach you because of the chain. Oh, that's a lovely illustration, boys and girls. That's how it is with the devil. He can roar and give the impression he's going to toss the place. But God has put a chain on him. He can only go so far. He's under the control of God, and we must bear that in mind. And that's what Moses realized. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he said, you can only do to me. But God allowed. You're under God's control. There's a chain on you, Pharaoh. Oh, Pharaoh didn't like hearing that. But nevertheless, it's true. Calvary put a chain on the devil. He was defeated. His power taken from him. And the devil, if I might use a phrase, is on death row. Death row is the place where those prisoners who have been found guilty of a great crime are awaiting execution. It's called death row. And they're in there in their cells, waiting on the day appointed for their execution.
Not so it is with the devil.
Now many prisoners sitting in that cell may shout and roar and abuse the officers in charge of them as they walk up and down patrolling. They may shout at other prisoners and say all sorts of things. Nevertheless, they're on their way to execution. That's how it is with the devil. God hath appointed a day when the devil will be cast into the lake of fire. You read about it in the Bible. And that is the second death. That is everlasting death. And that's the execution that the devil one day will face. And we're not to be frightened of him, therefore. He's only a roaring prisoner locked up on death row. What a picture. What a picture. Then, let me come to my last point. It says, Moses endured. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Here's what gave Moses the grace and the courage to defy the king. It says he saw him who is invisible. Think of that. This is a most wonderfully incongruous statement. That's a big word. Have you ever heard that word before? Incongruous. Well, it's a word that simply means, is that not a contradiction? Is there not a contradiction there? And there appears to be a contradiction in this verse. Can you see it? Look at it. Seeing him who is invisible. How can you do that? How can you see one who is invisible? The Christian can't. Now, it's the Lord that is being spoken of here. He's the one who is invisible. And he is invisible to the unconverted man. For the devil has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They're blind. Are you saved? Well, if you think back, there was a time you were blind to God. You never thought of him. You never considered him. But then when you got saved, you saw him. You saw him out there in the field. You saw his handiwork. But above all, you saw him in the Bible. The Christian sees the Lord by faith. The Christian believes what the Bible says about God and the revelation that is revealed here in the Scriptures, and thus we see him. This policeman's investigating a crime. Somebody has just been attacked, and there are witnesses. Did anybody see this? Yes, yes. Can you describe for me the attacker? Yes. And they begin to describe him. He's this height. He's this color of hair. He's white. He's wearing a jacket of this color, trousers of that color, jersey of another color. He's wearing glasses. And the policeman says, I know who that is. He sees in his mind who the attacker is, a known criminal. Well, when you come to the Bible, it describes the Lord for you. And as you hear what it says, you build a picture in your heart and mind of the Lord. And that's what it means when it says, Moses saw him who is invisible to everybody else, who doesn't have the faith that Moses had. Tell me, can you see the Lord at this moment? Can you see the Lord? I can. I can see his tender love and care put forth at Calvary. I can hear his voice speaking to me through this book. I feel the strivings of the Spirit within my soul. Moses, by faith, saw the Lord, and that's the common heritage of the child of God. Listen to what David said. Acts chapter 2 and the verse 25. Peter is quoting David. For David speaketh concerning him. That's God. David speaketh concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. No matter where he was, he could look up and there was the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 25. He is at my right hand, that I should not be moved. Oh, boys and girls, please think on what that means. And if you haven't got the experience of David, ask the Lord to show himself, to open your eyes. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Who art thou, Lord? He didn't know. But within moments,
He knew, for the Lord said, I am Jesus.
The Lord introduced himself.
Maybe somebody comes to your house. You don't know them. But they take you by the hand and they say, and
they tell you.
Suddenly you know them. That's how it is with the Lord. That's what conversion is. The Lord introducing himself. David found strength in seeing the Lord, and so it was with Moses. It says, if I might just remind you of what David said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I should not be moved. David was like a rock in the face of his enemies. And he saw the Lord. And he saw the Lord. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Boys and girls, that's the secret of success as a Christian. Keeping the Lord before us. May you know that experience. Oh, if you're not saved today, may God speak to you, boys and girls. May you hear him speak to you, and may you obey him. Let's just bow together, please, in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for thy word and for how it explains itself to us. Bless the boys and girls. Teach them to believe and thus to see the one who is invisible. What a privilege to be able to see the one that no one else can see who has not faith in the gospel. Bless the school today and all its ways for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.